To find out how all of this will affect Pakistan's politics and its president, Pervez Musharraf, we called Hussein Haqqani. He's director of Boston University's Center for International Relations. He joins us on the line. Good morning, Professor Haqqani.
Good morning.
Why do you think the government of Pervez Musharraf decided to try to end this siege today in this way? What was the political calculation?
General Musharraf obviously is expecting some international support as a result of this action, because a lot of people have felt that the clerics of the Red Mosque have been acting as vigilantes. They've been dispensing Taliban-like justice for almost 7 months. And so General Musharraf's calculation is that he can burnish his credentials as an anti-terrorist fighter by ending this in a violent manner.
What about the political fallout in Pakistan?
Well, he will have definitely a very negative political fallout in Pakistan. The political parties are going to criticize him for having waited for 7 months, in which there could have been many alternative ways of ending this siege. The siege, of course, started only recently, but the occupation of the buildings around the mosque had started much earlier, 7 months ago. And on the other hand, the more Islamically oriented segment of the Pakistani population is going to look upon this very negatively.
How did the conflict reach this level? Why didn't the government act sooner against the mosque, which, as you say, had been an irritant for months, with the clerics conducting a Taliban-style morality campaign, actually, in the capital?
And not only that, but the other part of it is that the mosque is actually owned by the government, and the clerics have been receiving government salaries for years. So how do government paid clerics become so radical? The problem lies in Pakistan's political past. For several years, beginning with the jihad against the Soviet Union and then the militancy in Kashmir, the Pakistani authorities have sought the help of radical clerics to find militants who can pursue the government's agenda. After 9/11, General Musharraf has changed that policy, but many of these clerics remain at large, and some of them are absolutely acting on their convictions.
Well, just how active and influential are these extremist groups that we're talking about?
Well, we must understand that in Pakistan, they are definitely a minority, but it's a very vocal and a very violent and in some cases a very well-armed minority. And if they are motivated enough, they can create many situations similar to the one at the Red Mosque in Islamabad. The fact remains that the Red Mosque is very close to the Pakistani Intelligence Service headquarters, and the Pakistani Intelligence Service is known to keep tabs on everybody from the Chief Justice of the country to opposition leaders. It's rather unfortunate that they have been neglecting the task of actually pursuing the radical clerics.
Mm-hmm. But given the growing domestic opposition to Musharraf's rule, what kind of flexibility does he actually have to crack down on these extremist groups?
Actually, General Musharraf somehow always finds himself between a rock and a hard place. He is now opposed by the democratic, liberal segment of the Pakistani population, because he refuses to take off his uniform and restore democracy. On the other hand, the radical Islamist element is becoming more and more angry with him because of his alliance with the United States. I think General Musharraf likes to juggle both situations. He wants the liberals to be afraid of the clerics, and he wants the clerics to be afraid of the fact that he could actually join up with the Pakistani liberal forces and totally eliminate them from their position of power.
Mm-hmm. Hussein Haqqani is director of Boston University's Center for International Relations and a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. Thank you very much.
Pleasure talking to you.